Good morning, and may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all of you to worship this morning, and you are invited following worship to join us for coffee hour. We thank the Scala Camps for providing coffee for us. You are more than welcome to join us and have good conversation together following worship. You'll notice that in your bulletin there are many activities, both of learning and of serving, ways for you to participate in the greater life of this congregation. Please notice all of those, for there is a place for you to fit in and participate too.
For many, many, many years, the third Saturday in September has been this congregation's Dutch Fair, and this year is no exception. Justin Foster, our church organist, also stepped up to be one of our two Dutch Fair chair people this year. Justin, my guess is that on the Sunday before Dutch Fair, you may just have something you'd like to say?
I may just have a few things that I would like to say.
We are all ears.
I'm sure that you are.
Put the mic up just a little bit.
Can you all hear me? Good, then I don't have to call. It's actually been a pretty good year so far. We've been off to a great start with the way everything's organized. A lot of you have helped to step up to the plate, both in preparation, in volunteering, and in volunteering for the day of, which means either you've all canceled your caller ID or you've just learned to pick up the phone. Just a few things that we did want to remind you of. One is that you need to get your tickets for the Giffey's Barbecue for this Saturday. The ribs are pre-sale only, so if you don't get your tickets, you don't get your ribs. It's just that simple. We do also have the chicken dinners available. Some opportunities that we still need volunteers for. The first is after 10 o'clock worship today, we'll figure probably about 11:30, we need help moving the remaining books from the coat closet into room one. If we have a few able-bodied people here, that would make the work light and quick, and I'm sure that Ellen would appreciate it very much. As fun as it was to watch Ellen try to move all the books with the foot that was injured, we would try to help Ellen so that she doesn't have to do all of that alone. Next, the one booth that does still need some volunteers, if you were wondering where you could help out and you know that your Saturday is clear, is our next to new clothing. On Friday for setup from 3 to 7, we'll need as many volunteers as we can get to help make the work light. We should have most of the tables up already inside and outside, but we do need help putting things on them so that we're not scrambling to do that Saturday morning. One of the last few things that I would ask is to remember to park down at Jumping Jacks if you are going to be here on Saturday. Parking is at a premium. So if we can park down at Jumping Jacks, we make sure there's available handicap parking up here and make sure that those that cannot walk as far that might not necessarily have a handicap parking sticker are still able to come in and enjoy. We do have shuttles that will run throughout the day. So if walking is a worry, don't worry. We'll still have some form of transportation to get you all the way up the hill. And then later on, when you're full from eating all the barbecue, you can just roll back down. It'll be really easy. So lastly, we just want to thank everybody who has volunteered, both their time, their support, and we ask that you help to continue to spread the word. Richard Doyle will be running amongst you after church looking for volunteers. Please don't run from him. It's really hard for a man of his age to chase after you. And the Munsons will be selling all of the tickets, or you can speak with the Monahans about tickets for the dinner. Thank you again, and we look forward to this Saturday.
Thank you, Justin.
Many ways in which we live as a congregation, but we gather on the first day of the week to celebrate the one who came as the light of the world.
We worship our God together. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh,
Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Peace are yours from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
The morning scripture lessons all speak of forgiveness. We learn how to forgive because we have been forgiven. So we come to a time of confessing our sins that once again we might hear the assurance of God's pardon and go forth as redeemed, renewed people. This morning we use a prayer from the Celtic tradition, remembering that the words of other cultures speak deeply also to our heart. Let us pray our prayer together. Christ, in forgiveness, be near. Christ, in forgiveness, appear. Christ, in forgiveness, drive off the foe. Christ, in forgiveness, help me below. Christ, in forgiveness, give me release. Christ, in forgiveness, I need thy peace. Amen. we speak this glad truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Friends, I declare to you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In him we have forgiveness of sins, and we have a fresh start in life. Amen.
Mindful of God's grace and aware of our fresh start that our Lord gives us, hear how we are called to live. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Do this, and all will know that you are my disciples." This is how we are called to live. And now, as a sign of our desire and our commitment to live as we are called, we bring our morning's gifts and offerings.
One small voice singing in the wilderness, one small voice of mine, soft and pure, steady and ever sure, this small voice of mine.
Oh,
with me. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Use us and our gifts for your high purpose, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Please be seated.
O God, may the words of my mouth and the thinking of our minds, the openness of our hearts, hear the word that you would give to us this day. You are our strength and our Redeemer, and we praise you, O God. Amen. From Paul's letter to the early church in Rome. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over their opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. And those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or your sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall praise to God, shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. And then we turn to the good news as Matthew records it. Peter came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times, or seven times 70 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents, which is an unimaginable, unforgivable sum. The one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. Owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. He refused, and then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the Lord all that had taken place. The Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now will the children join me at the front? Good morning. I wanted to remind Kristen, you wanted to take pictures. And if anyone has a phone in the balcony, thank you. What do you think? Good morning. Was God with us this past week? I know there were birthdays, and there was school, and there was nursery school, and there were sports. Was God with us? Was God over in Niskayuna? No? Oh, that God. God is everywhere. God was in Niskayuna. And God was in Scotia. And God is in Scotia. And sometimes the things that I tell you or that adults, tall people tell you are hard to understand. Pastor Jan, I just read a passage in the Bible that is very hard for us to understand. And I will be working with the taller, older people to begin to understand of some of what I read in the Bible. And sometimes it's very hard to understand what our teachers tell us or what the Bible says to us. And sometimes we just have to sing so that we remember and understand. And the song that we're going to sing together after I've said a prayer of thanksgiving is a very simple song that most of us adults have learned when we were little.
And it goes, Jesus loves me.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Some of us know it. Some of us know it already. And sometimes we have to sing to make hard things understood.
It is wonderful to have you with me this morning
and to know that God is with us here and when we go out those big doors and wherever we go,
that God goes with us.
Let us say a prayer of thanksgiving and then sing all about God's love for us. Let us pray.
Dear God, what a beautiful day. We give you thanks. What wonderful children, first thing in the morning, we give you thanks for all that they will ask, for all that they will teach, for all that we will learn from them. We give you thanks. Will you bless them and keep them safe, keep them healthy in the coming days, and may they continue to be a blessing to all of us. We praise you, O God. Amen. Now let's sing together.
It is good to sing together to remind us when there is hard gospel that we can rely on the things that we know by heart. Jesus loves me, this I know. The word came on Thursday. My friend Doc and his wife had been in a car accident in Michigan. Doc is an 82-year-old retired Reformed Church minister who was a chaplain at Western Michigan University for long years. He also was the head of the Christian Action Commission in the Reformed Church denomination-wide. He gives social witness to a big world and a big God. And I've known Doc most of my adult life. His wife, Shirley, 79, would die 3 days after the car accident. They were killed on the way down to Kalamazoo. They were going to watch their grandchildren play football. There was a wrong-way driver, an 83-year-old man whose license was suspended. He'd been in an accident in April. How do I forgive a driver that shouldn't have been driving for having killed the life, taken the life of Shirley? She was chair of the communications department at Western Michigan. She was a very wonderful, bright-eyed woman. Even at 79, she was working for Habitat for Humanity and doing all kinds of activities with college students mentoring in the community. Forgive? 70 times 7? Or how about the Olympic hero who ran so beautifully on those prostheses, Oscar Pistorius? Forgive him for killing his wife? Boy, I thought he was guilty, didn't you? What a surprise, he's out on bail until the middle of October. And our football heroes, Ray Rice, forgive him. Forgive another football player who's been arrested for child abuse. Forgive Ray Rice's wife, Janae, for going along with it and being public. Football commissioner Roger Goodell. They're all part of American culture. My children hold up football heroes, Olympic heroes. Examples for our kids. You expect me to forgive in all those situations? Yes, the gospel lesson today is hard. Forgiveness, is it the hardest blessing to offer? The hardest blessing to receive? I've had to ask for hard forgiveness. And over time, we are forgiven by the grace of God, by the grace of those who love us. Yeah, I learned forgiveness best from my dog. She doesn't keep score. My beautiful Mika, even when she's left alone for a whole day and maybe a little bit too long, she's just really glad to see me and jumps up and wants to lick and wants to be loved, and she'd just as soon be on my lap. There's no keeping score with my dog. We start over new every day. Dog. God. Sometimes we can forgive quickly. Oh, Jan, it's okay. Sometimes it takes longer and longer, doesn't it? Is there some forgiveness that you are being asked to practice? Is there pain? Is there anger? Where is God in all of that for you? Are you being asked in a new way to forgive? Though we begin a new program year, it's September, in the church year on the calendar, we are still in ordinary time, the time when we read the Gospels of Jesus teaching God's people. And we have been in ordinary time since June. Though a long time, those gospel lessons, reading about Jesus' life and Jesus' teachings, boy, they don't get any easier. Peter's question of Jesus and Jesus' answer get to the heart of how we live together. We're called to live extravagantly with one another, forgiving. And the word that is used here for forgive from the Greek is a powerful word that conveys loosing one's hold on something. I just as soon hold on to the fact that you need to forgive me or need to ask for my forgiveness, because then I control the situation and I can wallow around in the pain and the anger and the muck. And part of forgiveness is letting it go so that I don't die on the inside. Loosening, letting go, And it refers to debts. It refers to divorce. It refers to releasing, to leaving something or someone behind, to forgive. And in this gospel story, that number seven is used because in the Bible, the number seven represents wholeness and completeness and perfection. Of course, the 7 days of creation. But seven is somehow, in this story, not enough for Jesus. It's a not enough perfection. And Jesus says, nuh-uh, 70 times seven. To be extravagant with our love and with our forgiveness is a real challenge. And it's so challenging that Jesus doesn't leave it just as the two sentences that he exchanges with Peter, but he goes on and tells a fantastic story, a parable. To offer forgiveness means that we refuse to allow another's sin or another's debt to control us or hold on to us. But boy, that's easier said than done. Several times in my ministry, I've heard of your frustration, your unfinished business with someone who's maybe died or with whom you are no longer in touch, and we fail to forgive that person, to let go and not be controlled, to not wallow in the muck of having been hurt is hard work. Luce Meads was a professor at Fuller Seminary in ethics, and he's written a wonderful short book called Choices, Making Right Decisions in a Complex World. And one of the things that he writes is that we make two judgments when we forgive. First, we believe that a person did something unfair to us, and we hold them personally responsible. And there's another part to forgiveness. When we decide to forgive a person, God has already forgiven that person. I was told on the way in this morning that in the story of Oscar Pistorius, he killed a beautiful blonde woman, and her mother has already declared her forgiveness for him because she has said that if she doesn't, you know, she says, I must, for I know that if I don't, I will die. The dead woman's father says, I'm working on it. Forgiveness often takes a long time. Isn't it interesting that this lesson shows up in the week of September 11th? It reminds me, amid those painful, stark memories, pictures, it reminds me to keep my heart open and to help others learn to let go. It is by God's grace that we can forgive. And we can forgive because God forgives us. So this week I went to an engagement party. Linda was there with her four children. And Linda's mother and some of her friends, women friends, and Jihan was there with her daughter. And the women were there and the men were not allowed to be there because the women were dancing and eating. And these are Palestinian people who have been to Iraq on the Syrian border in refugee camp. And they are our Muslim refugee families who have come here now, and Linda's mother has made a barter for a bride that we could only see pictures of in Jordan. And these people trust us Americans enough to invite us into their home where the men are not allowed to be when they dance. And they allow us to hold their children close. And we are learning from them what a big world it is. And now I kind of know where Palestine is, and I kind of know where Iraq is, and I kind of know where Syria is, and I kind of know where Libya is. And we start to find out where places are because we know people from there. I was at another party last night with Mike Sicoccio from City Mission. Mike directs our Schenectady City Mission, and he's a man of vision. He's a dreamer, and he happens to make things happen, too. He told me that in our public school system, there are 30 different languages. Schenectady Public School System, 30 different languages. It is a big world in our small area. I don't know what it is for Scotia Glenville, but I'm going to find out. I'm sure it's more than just English and Spanish, if it's 30 tongues in Schenectady. To forgive one another the national sins, we have to keep a big heart and get to know other people, people who speak another language first before they speak English. People who worship in another way, who look different, who didn't come from Dutch West Michigan or upstate New York. It's a big world. Forgiveness. Last week, Pastor Craig said at the end of his sermon on loving our neighbor, he said, "Welcome back. We will learn now about the core of our faith. This is the core of our faith, to love our neighbor, to love one another as we love ourselves, and to love God with heart and soul and might." So as I prepared for this week, knowing those lessons from Matthew and the letter to the church in Rome, I asked consistory members on Monday night and some staff during the week if they would think about what it means to love our neighbor and to forgive or be forgiven by one another. Three consistory people responded quite quickly, two with private personal stories that are not for public telling. But one person has a story he'd like to share with us. Mike Carpenter wrote me about loving his neighbor and can speak this morning. Michael? Mike is a deacon on our consistory. He's a runner. He's an engineer. He happens also to be a poet and a writer.
Well, my running days seem to be fading. I'm more of a cyclist at the moment. My body is rebelling against me. This is a story from my family and on loving our neighbor and forgiveness. We first moved to Scotia 14 years ago, and we lived in the village below the avenue, or below the Ave, as some people say. It was a cute little yellow house, and one that I miss on more than one occasion. We moved in the fall and didn't really get to meet our immediate neighbor, whose house was essentially right next to our driveway and not more than 10 feet from our dining room. We didn't meet her until the following spring. What I did notice that fall and winter was that seemingly a different cat looked at us from our neighbor's window at each and every meal. And this was somewhat amusing to us. And the kids, you know, they thought it was just funny. Oh, there's, you know, the so-and-so, the gray cat is looking at us. And we would joke about it occasionally. Come spring and summer, that following year, with our windows all open and our neighbor's windows all open, it was really very clear that she had lots of cats. This became a point of animosity for me for several reasons. Not only the obvious, the smell was tough, but the fact that it appeared unhealthy for the animals was also a point for myself. And on hot, still, and steamy days, it really bothered me. I never addressed this with my neighbor, and it seemed hard at the time inside of me to either forgive or forget. This was our new home. We purchased it after moving from Washington State. It was a really big move for the family. However, over the summer, it became clear that she needed our help. Due to her poor health and her daughter's poor health, the yard maintenance to her home was severely lacking. And that all came to a head when I noticed that the two of them were taking turns trying to mow the lawn. And, you know, it was well overdue in terms of my opinion. And the daughter was trying to do all this while wearing a very large back brace. That day, I offered my assistance to take over the yard maintenance. And between myself, Wendy, and the kids, we would mow the lawn weekly, trim the bushes, rake the leaves every fall, and clear the snow from her walk and driveway over the winter. She was very thankful and would occasionally give us a cake or a pie in return. Now, I believe this newfound relationship proved beneficial to all of us. My neighbor, she didn't have to worry about her yard work. And I think she really enjoyed watching the kids run around, attempting to help. And in the fall, probably jumping in more piles of leaves and doubling the work as well. For myself and Wendy, we both felt very productive. And it felt good to help her, albeit in the scheme of things, in really just a small way. Our neighbor lived next door for 7 more years. We talked almost daily. We became really good friends. She watched our house like a hawk. And at times, she knew more of our goings-on than I did, which I guess doesn't take a lot sometimes. The cats, there was a lot of them, but they were obviously healthy. They were well cared for, and maybe a few too many for that small of a house. Due to old age, the cats, they passed one by one over the years, and when my neighbor moved away, I think there was only one elderly cat that made the move. Now, I know that I misjudged my neighbor. And during that period of time, you know, I asked the Lord for his forgiveness. And I still miss that old yellow house and the neighbor that we loved. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
You have your own story of forgiveness. And I found a particular book helpful. And it might be helpful for you too. It's called Proclaim Jubilee by Maria Harris. Jubilee, in the Old Testament, we read, "You shall let the land lie fallow in that 50th year of Jubilee. That is, you shall practice Sabbath. You shall forgive debts," letting forgiveness in. "You shall forgive, you shall free captives and proclaim liberty. You shall find out what belongs to whom and give it back. You shall hold a great feast, learning to sing the canticle, the song, Jubilate Deo." That is how we are called to live. But there are some things that are only forgivable by God. Things like rape, atrocities, another person beheaded, torture. There are those who have tried to exterminate whole races and clans. Some things are left to God. We can forgive debts. including the so-called developing nations' debts, to us made long ago through the World Bank. We can forgive sins and trespasses, those that we know and those that we don't know can be part of our prayer. We can ask for forgiveness for omissions, the things that we have left undone, how we unthinkingly have harmed others, things that we might not ever know about. Forgive whom? Our families, often the most difficult. Those close to us in work or in play. Forgive those whom our people have harmed through racism, through sexism, through our attitudes about poverty and wealth. Forgive the impossible to forgive. And forgive ourselves. Recognize that sometimes it takes a long, 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 long time. However, life is short. Sometimes we can earn forgiveness or find forgiveness by returning to a place or going on pilgrimage to Coventry Cathedral, to Dachau and other gas chambers and scenes of horror, by going to Ground Zero, by going to the old homestead where our parents grew up. We find forgiveness by ritual, by lighting a candle, declaring forgiveness, declaring the sin of the act, and blowing the candle out. By ritual of ashes on Wednesday and the celebration of the whole season of Lent, that is a whole time for us to repent, to confess, and to forgive and be forgiven. And through the process of Maimonides, the great Jewish teacher, be aware of the need for forgiveness. Verbally confess the need for forgiveness. Express regret. Express resolve not to do it again. And then offer resistance to the temptation. Sometimes we have to move away from the place where we were wronged or where we committed the wrong. And we need to confess as daily life and through the long struggle. There are many ways that Pastor Craig and I can help you and that professionals can help you work with tough forgiveness, for often we have pushed things away and we don't want to deal with certain things. I would encourage you not to be afraid to ask for help. Part of why we live in community is to know that we are not alone in our struggles to follow Christ. When Christ gives us tough, tough commands, extravagant in my forgiveness, I'm working on it. I am working on it. And Reinhold Niebuhr, great theologian of the 20th century, reminds us in the words of the silent meditation that we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness. We are able to forgive because God first forgave us. May God be with you in your lifelong struggle as you live as Christ's person in this place and in the world outside these walls. Amen. For people like Lou Smeads and Maria Harris, who help us in our thinking and give us clear ways to work through the hard issues, the hard ways that God calls us, I am very grateful. And you may look at my books that I have found helpful in today's sermon. You'll see in the notes about our people that we are grateful for the life of Ed Horscotti, who turns 90 today, but I'm not going to look at him.
I am.
And there was a great celebration at Camp Fowler yesterday. I'm sure that as Maggie Bushman and Jason White were married, we celebrate their marriage and can't wait to see Maggie in a couple of weeks when she begins as our leader of the youth working with our kids. And you'll see that Myron Hermance, it says he's a patient at Albany Med, but he has been discharged to Kingsway and is resting comfortably and was received and welcomed by many of his family yesterday afternoon. So Myron's at Kingsway for rehabilitation and gaining strength, and we are grateful. We're very glad, aren't we, Philip? Yeah, we're really glad. And Doug, your mother, Pat, has been discharged from Ellis Hospital. Can you say where she is discharged to? To the nursing center in Gilderland. She will be in rehabilitation for about 6 weeks. We are very grateful for her gaining strength, and we continue prayers for her and for you as you care for her in a new way, Doug. So always, there are things that we speak of, but there are also things going on in the lives of those around you, and I encourage you always to pray for the family next to you, for the person who sits in front of you, and the person who sits beside you. You know not what their struggles and decisions are. Let us pray. O God, who blesses us and guides us, we thank you for the many blessings of this season, for crisp apples, bright stars this morning, and very crisp, cool mornings, we give you thanks. For red sunrise yesterday, for bright chrysanthemums, for cool nights and good sleep, for good work, for relaxed play, we thank you. Today we pray for your blessing on those who celebrate, for long life, even 90 and more years, we thank you. Especially we name Ed this morning. But in naming Ed, we give thanks for all those who show us how to age well, with grace and good humor and joy. We think of the Bushman and White families who celebrate the wedding of Maggie and Jason, and all those who celebrate and remember their wedding vows. Thank you for the joy of human love. We give thanks with the Hermance family that Myron is moved safely to Kingsway, that Pat is moved safely to Gilderland. We think of all those who are cared for so lovingly by spouse and family and parent, those who need help to even begin the day's routine. Thank you for the blessing of human care. We thank you for situations where bodies are strengthened and are healing, for places where relationships are healed. We thank you for growing children, for maturing faith, for renewed trust in God, and for new commitments to serve you in our world. We pray for peace in our world, for negotiations instead of bombs, for safety for the innocent instead of fear, for freedom to work and receive an education instead of receiving abuse and violence. As we have remembered the 9/11 attacks, so we give thanks again for those who run into dangerous situations, those who rescue and restore. And we pray for those who lost so much that day.
But in remembering, may we move into the future with a new commitment to making peace with our enemies, to finding new ways of offering hospitality to the stranger, and using positive language of hope instead of despair. Remind us to take time to get to know and appreciate one another. And in knowing one another better, may we know that all are blessed who know you and confess before you. May we learn to heed your wise command and thus sing a joyful song. Confident of your care, we pray now for ourselves. We are many things to many people. But in your sight, we are your sons and your daughters. Encourage us in obedience where we have grown lax. Restore us in tenderness where we have grown hard. Renew us in purpose where we have grown confused. Bless us, each one, with an unhindered view of your majesty and your glory, that sure of your power at work within us, we may live, not just somehow, but triumphantly. So we offer all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A day of rejoicing, a day of forgiveness and of joy. And may God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.